एषा सत्त्वानाम् आत्मंसा परमात्मनः आज्योऽवतारो वात्रासो भूतग्रामो विभाव्यते.
The Supreme Lord expands himself in two ways, by personal plenary expansions and separated minute expansions. The personal plenary expansions are Vishnu tattvas, and the separated expansions are living entities. Since the living entities are very small, they are sometimes described as the marginal energy of the Lord. But the mystic yogis consider the living entities and the supersoul, Paramatma, to be one and the same. It is, however, a minor point of controversy. After all, everything created rests on the gigantic Virat, or universal form, of the Lord. The gigantic universal form of the Supreme Lord is the first incarnation and plenary portion of the Supersoul. He is the self of unlimited number of living entities, and in him rests the aggregate creation which thus flourishes. Lord Krishna's unlimited, inconceivable opulences are being herein described. Anato aniyan mahato mahiyan. Krishna is greater than the greatest, also smaller than the smallest. Here is a wonderful example. Within the universe, the Lord expands himself as the Paramatma, which certainly is smaller than the smallest. The Paramatma resides within the heart of every living entity, even the little germ, which has to be seen under the very strong microscopes. Krishna is seated within the heart of that germ. You may ask, we don't see a heart in the germ. However, Krishna is seated in the heart. It may not be a heart like yours. That is our relative perception. We see a human heart or an animal heart. But every living entity has his own type of heart. And Krishna is within the heart of every living entity. How could he be in the heart of every living entity if anyone doesn't have a heart? But there are different varieties of species of life, and they have different varieties of hearts in that sense. They may be very different than our perception of heart. A little germ may not have blood flowing and hearts pumping, but in this sense, heart means that place of residence where the supersoul resides within a person's body. And he is also in and between every atom. This is Paramatma. In and between every atomic particle. What could possibly be smaller than something within the atom? Cannot be seen, even with the greatest of our scientific devices. In this way, Krishna is smaller than the smallest. Not only in one place, but everywhere. He has expanded himself in and between every atom and within the heart of every living entity within this entire creation. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. And yet, we cannot even see him. It is only through the eyes of scriptures that we can understand that he exists. because he's just too small. The spirit soul is one ten thousandth the size of a tip of a hair, and the super soul is in the heart of the soul as well, when it's the soul is within this material creation. So in this way, the super soul exists so wonderfully. But he is also bigger than the biggest. Of course, we know Mahavishnu. He's very, very big. He is so big that all the universes are coming out of the pores of his body when he breathes outwardly. But then he expands himself as Garbhodakshai Vishnu, who expands himself as Kshirodakshai Vishnu, who expands himself as the minute, tiny little super soul, who expands himself as the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa is the form of the entire universe. It is being explained in this chapter. The sun and the moon are his eyes. All the oceans and rivers, they're all parts of his body. All the planetary systems, the lower planets, like Patala Loka, are at his feet. The higher planets, like Brahma Loka, are up towards his head. He actually manifests this incredible, wonderful form, in which, within it, is the whole universe. How great is Krishna? Srila Prabhupada often explained that in various religious ideas, the concept that God is great is very important. But how God is great, in detail, is described most wonderfully in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahapuranam. Amalam Puranam. It is the spotless Purana. It is the greatest of the Puranas. In fact, it is the most important of all Vedic literatures. Srila Vedavyas, out of his causeless mercy upon all the fallen souls suffering the pleasures and pains of material life, he compiled the true, perfect, absolute knowledge of Vedas. But knowing that the coming of Kali Yuga would be, and who has the time to read all these volumes and volumes of literatures, the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Mahabharata, the Itihastas. So what Vedavyas did out of his great mercy is he summarized everything in codes called Vedanta Sutra. He concentrated all the essence of all Vedic knowledge in small aphorisms or sutras. This is Vedavyasa's power, Mahato Mahiyan Anato Aniyan. First, he created the biggest body of scriptures to this day that has ever been created in the world, the Vedas. The Christian religion has their New Testament. It's about this big. The Jewish religion has the first part of that testament. The Christians accept two parts of that testament. And the Muslims have their Quran, and the Buddhists have their Buddhist sutras. So many religions have their book. But what is the book of the Sanatan Dharmas? The Vedas, they fill rooms, buildings. Cities can be filled with all the Vedic literatures that Vedavyasa has done. Voluminous, so big. Biggest scriptures expanded. He just expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded on one principle. Sarvadharaman purityajya mamekam sharanam braja. We should all surrender to Krishna. But then he took all the essence of all knowledge of Vedas and put them in Vedanta Sutra. Little sutras that are hardly a part of one line long. containing all such knowledge. However, in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, how he condensed everything, all knowledge of all Vedas, all everything, is within the holy name of Krishna. These 16 words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And Krishna and all knowledge can be fully realized, experienced, understood on every level just by purely chanting the holy names of Krishna. Philosophically, as far as presenting the world with the most complete, comprehensive literature, which directs all of its energy toward the essence of life, Srila Vedavyasa expanded the Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the greatest of all spiritual literatures in all of creation, because it deals only with the conclusion, siddhanta, of all religion, pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love for Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find so many wonderful, wonderful explanations of creation, the universal form, the spotless love of the devotees for the Lord. We find such deep, deep philosophy analyzing every aspect of knowledge from the spiritual point of view. We find the explanation of the most glorious of the incarnations of the Lord as he has descended not only in this universe, but in many universes, in many times, in many ages. And the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam is the original personality of Godhead, Krishna, is explained in its greatest detail when he descends to the earth and reveals the pastimes of the spiritual world that are eternally taking place. And herein, Krishna is revealing these pastimes in such wonderful, wonderful way that he is inviting all living beings, please come. Come back home, back to Godhead, your real home, the safest and only place of real happiness. In this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are finding how Krishna manifests himself from the minute, tiny little super soul to the gigantic form of the Virat Rupa. Simply by his will. What is the difference between us and God? Some of us are too big. Somehow or other, we just gain too much weight for whatever reason. It may be because of hereditary reasons. It may be because we like to eat a lot of prasad. Whatever reason, we're very big. And we want to become smaller. What we have to do to become smaller? Terrible situation. We have to fast, we have to go on diets, and somehow or other we may lose a few kgs, and everyone looks at us and says, oh, you are very great. You have lost 20 kgs. You have lost 40 kgs. But it's taken me 6 months to do it, and I'm hungry. That's what we have to do to get smaller. A little smaller. Well, no matter how much you fast, your body will not fit in between atomic particles. You'll be lucky to fit in the seat of your car. Or through the doorway. And others, they're very, very lean and thin, and they want to gain weight. So they just eat and eat and eat and eat. But still, they're not gaining weight. They may gain some little weight. The doctor says, you have to gain weight. You're too small. So we overeat. We sleep a lot, whatever we have to do.
And somehow we may grow a few kilos. This is our condition. And yet we're thinking, I am God. Krishna, when he goes from the super soul to the Virat Rupa, he doesn't start eating a lot. He just desires. The super soul says, thinks in his own heart, let me become Virat Rupa. He's bigger than the universe. And the Virat Rupa, let me become super soul. Instantly, yet they're both simultaneously existing, but expanding. He expands and still exists in the same form. This is Krishna. So when the scriptures say that God is great, the greatest, most wonderful of all literatures is Srimad Bhagavatam, because it explains in such authoritative detail how God is great. How God is great within this material creation. How God is great within the spiritual world. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains exactly what's happening in Vaikuntha. Exactly what's happening in Goloka Vrindavan. Exactly what's happening in this material existence. The Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining the life, the joys and the problems of each of the heavenly planets. The miseries of life in the hellish planets. Not just, if you sin, you will go to hell. Well, what's hell? Maybe, who knows what is hell? Srila Prabhupada told a story of the Christian preacher who went to some very, very poor, uneducated people. They were working in coal mines. Coal mines means they dig tunnels way deep down underground. They used to walk down there. Now, more technologically advanced coal mines, they have little trains that go deep down, down, down. It's pitch dark. They all have little flashlights on their hats just to see. So these people are working in the coal mines all day long, just to get some money to survive and pay their families' bills. So this preacher, he was saying, you have to give up your sins. They said, well, why should we give up our sins? Sins are fun. Because if you do not give up your sins, you will go to hell. They asked, well, maybe we want to go to hell. What's it like there? He said, it's very dark. It's always dark. It's very hot, terribly hot. And everybody's very, very cruel. They were thinking, well, sounds like the way we're living now. We don't mind. It's the caves. It's underground. It's way deep down underground. And it's dark and it's hot and it's dangerous. Oh, well, that sounds like the coal mines. Why should we give up our sins? We're quite happy. Then the Christian preacher was very intelligent. He said, in hell, there are no newspapers. They said, oh, this is terrible. How will we live? We will give up our sins. Hare Krishna. So this is the conception of hell. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains, hell is not just the place underground where there's fire burning. There is a whole series of hellish planets. And the Yamadutas, they are the presiding deities of those hellish planets. And they're waiting for you. Hare Krishna, it explains exactly what the Yamadutas look like. And exactly what they do. How, in the third canto, Lord Kapiladeva explains how they drag you from your body into the hellish conditions. What is that transporting period, what's taking place, how long it takes, and then what kind of hellish planets there are for different varieties of sins. You may be embracing a red hot copper form of a woman if you have illicit sex for millions of years, burning and burning. You may be walking around on a red hot copper planet. And you have no shoes. There's no shoe stores anywhere on that planet. You have to walk barefoot, and your feet are burning and burning, and there's nowhere to go, and you're thirsty, and there's nothing to eat, and nothing to drink, nothing to eat. And the Yamadutas are beating you, keep walking, for millions of years. And you're just praying, let me die, please let me die, but you never die until your karma is expired. There's a hellish planet where the Yamadutas put you on top of a tree and tie you to that tree, and the tree is full of big razor sharp thorns. Then they pull you down and your whole body is ripped into thousands of shreds. And you live through it. And then they put you back together and take you to the top of the tree and pull you down again and take you to the top of the tree and pull you down again for thousands of millions of years, perhaps, depending on your sins. You're just continuously being ripped to shreds and you do not die. There's another hellish planet where these big birds with sharp beaks and claws, they just look at you. They just stare at you. And then they jump and tear out your eyeballs. Hare Krishna. And it's so painful. And then your eyes go back in your head after terrible, excruciating pain. And then they just start looking at you again. And you know they're going to come and tear them out again. And then they come and tear them out. Then they put them back. And then they look at you. But when they look at you, how they look at you with such anger and hatred. And you can't even blink your eyes or look another direction. And you're in that situation for a long, long time. We are just giving a drop from the ocean of the varieties of sufferings in the hellish planets. These things should be understood. We should be very careful what we look at, because we do not know what the reactions of these eyes will be. If you eat the wrong foods, they take boiling hot, something like lead, molten. It's burning hot. And they open your mouth and pour it down. Some of you have eaten something that's too hot. You know, it hurts. It's very painful. Too many chilies in your sabji. Or accidentally you bite into a chili. In ISKCON they call them sharks, especially in dal. When they put in whole chilies floating in the dal, they call them sharks. And if you eat into one, they bite you very hard. Or you may have taken some drink that's just too hot. How will I tolerate this? Can you imagine a constant flow for thousands of years, just constant flow of burning, hot, lead-like, thick liquid just being poured down and just burning you inside and outside? Hare Krishna. That's what happens if you eat the wrong food that is not offered to Krishna. Krishna prasadam ki jai. So we may say, I do not believe these things. You may say that now. But you will soon become a believer. They say seeing is believing. All right, you want to see? You will see. Hare Krishna. We must see through the eyes of the scriptures. Otherwise, we have to see for ourselves, which is not what we want. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining in such wonderful, wonderful, comprehensive information. What is the hellish planets? What are the heavenly planets? What is this earth planet? How creation took place? What is beyond this material world? Where is the energy coming from to sustain and to activate material energy? What is the difference between matter and spirit? Beyond this material world is Viraja, the border between spiritual and material existence. The universes are floating within the causal ocean. And then there is the Brahma Jyoti, the various Vaikuntha planets. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains what's happening in the Vaikuntha planets, what the residents look like, what they do, how they pass their life eternally in transcendental bliss with the Lord, and how different Vaikuntha planets have different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, according to our particular desire to love and serve them. And beyond all the Vaikuntha planets is Krishna Loka, which is subdivided into four sections. There's Dwarkapuri, Mathurapuri, Sri Brajbhumi. And a section of Brajbhumi is Navadvip, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates are always eternally engaging in loving pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the activities that are eternally taking place in Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. And then that same Veda Vyas expands himself as Vrindavan Das Thakur to explain the wonderful Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to give profusely Krishna to everyone, Krishna Bhakti, through the congregational chanting of the holy name. Our good fortune, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada understood the great need of Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. When he sat in Vrindavan Dham, Sri Radha Damodar Mandir, day and night he was working like we can never imagine to work. He was old person by physical standards. But he wanted to give the world Srimad Bhagavatam, knowing that all of our acharyas and the scriptures themselves declare it is the most important scripture in all of creation. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they simply expanded Srimad Bhagavatam. The Satsandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami is simply the expansion of the truths of Srimad Bhagavatam being explained in very deep and sublime ways according to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they are all just Lord Chaitanya working through the six Goswamis to explain what is Srimad Bhagavat philosophy in more and more wonderful ways. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme scripture. There is no other scripture required. Everything is included. That was Vedavyasa's own conclusion. After writing all Vedas, he was feeling frustrated. Within all the other Vedas, he covered all the knowledge that is in all other scriptures of the world, far beyond. But he was not satisfied, because as a compassionate Vaishnava, Paradukaduki, he wanted to give everyone the highest thing. Therefore, his Guru Maharaj, Sri Narada Muni, the disciple of Brahmaji, who was a disciple of Krishna himself, came and explained, when you compile Srimad Bhagavatam, then your mission will be complete. Then you will find the greatest joy. You have not yet exclusively explained, unmotivated, uninterrupted bhakti to the absolute highest perfection of life, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusion. It is the greatest and most required scripture in all of existence. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada understood outside of India, there was not a single person who had access to Srimad Bhagavatam. the conclusion of all Vedic knowledge, the most important of all literatures in this age of Kali Yuga especially. No one had access to this. If you were a Sanskrit scholar, only did you have access. But unless you read the commentaries of the great acharyas, you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum evi avagacchet. Impossible to understand Bhagavat philosophy without an acharya in disciplic succession explaining. And the evidence of that is here in India. How many Bhagavat Saptaha reciters are there? Reciting Bhagavatam for 7 days or 10, whatever they do. And how many people surrender to Krishna after this Bhagavat Saptaha? Generally what happens after all these great, great scholars, some of them have pondered the teachings of Bhagavatam for 50, 60 years, practically memorized the entire text. Sanskrit, they can explain it in so many ways. But they never come to the conclusion that you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Some of the reciters of Bhagavatam, their conclusion is that you are Krishna, you are God. Most of them are Mayavadis, which is the absolutely most contrary conclusion of the real teachings of the Bhagavatam. And others teach, well, maybe like this and maybe like that, I have spoken. They don't know the conclusion. It's just their occupation to recite all the stories and whatever philosophical interpretations they have. But what is the conclusion of all of it? You decide. Whatever you think is the proper conclusion. Some people think they're gods, some people don't think they're gods, some people think everybody, all the demigods are gods, some people think so many ideas. It doesn't matter. Just hear Bhagavatam, believe whatever you want, and become happy. Hare Krishna. Where you'll go, who you are. Most don't even know. So Srila Prabhupada understood this. The masses of people in India are being misled of the real teachings of Bhagavatam. And outside of India, not a single soul has access to these sublime teachings. When he was sitting at Jiva Goswami's temple in Radha Damodar, at the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Rupa Goswami, out of his burning compassion, he wanted to give the pure teachings of Bhagavatam to the world, knowing anyone who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam under the care of a proper spiritual master and attempts to follow these teachings will know Krishna in truth and go back home, back to Godhead. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna left this world, he descended in his literary incarnation as Srimad Bhagavatam. It is non-different than Krishna himself. Not only did Srila Prabhupada write the first canto, translated with perfect commentaries, he went through so much trouble carrying these big trunks of books on Jaladutta all the way to New York City. And there, he had all these books. There is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's first canto done. Of course, in America, people are not very attracted to books published and printed in India. It's a whole different standard. People like very nice books. Especially in those days, how they printed in India. You didn't have the technology, but they had it there. So Prabhupada had these books. You open them, they start falling apart. Hare Krishna. He had books that Americans were not at all attracted to as far as the physical quality of the publishing and printing. And he had no one to help him. He was just on his own. The captain in the ship, he convinced him, buy the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was invited to Slippery Rock State College. He was there. Somehow or other, the professor wasn't even interested. But he convinced him, you must buy this Srimad Bhagavatam. Put it in your library.
I went 20 years later to that library after this professor told me that Prabhupada sold him Srimad Bhagavatam for the library. I went to that library and I saw the three books. They were effulgent. All these other books. You know what kind of books are in university libraries? You all know. Most of you have students or have been students. Just so many mundane knowledge just accumulating in this room. And there was effulgent. I could see it from the other side of the room. Srimad Bhagavatam. I went right to them and I opened. Not a single person in 20 years ever took out that book. Hare Krishna. They were just sitting on the shelf. But Srila Prabhupada wanted people to read them. So what did he do? He started preaching, making disciples, and to those disciples he told them, distribute the Srimad Bhagavatam. And soon on every continent of earth, millions of Srimad Bhagavatams were being distributed. And all of Prabhupada's books, whether they be Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam's philosophy is contained in his purports to all of his books. This is the glory of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And we are so fortunate. By his grace, we can read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand it as it is. And we can help him, assist him to distribute these Srimad Bhagavatams, either through book distribution or through preaching the message. Or by creating such a wonderful, loving atmosphere in the temple that people see, this is Srimad Bhagavatam in life. Let me understand what it is. Our whole life is simply to assist Srila Prabhupada in distributing Srimad Bhagavatam in everything we do. The life, the teachings of a Vaishnava is to inspire people to surrender to Krishna, to love Krishna with unmotivated devotion. It is explained herein that the Lord has two types of expansions. The first is that he expands himself as Vishnu Tattvas. Srila Prabhupada explains they are his personal plenary expansions. That means he himself, in his fullness and glory, takes another form for a particular purpose. But that form is none different than him. It may not exhibit all of the opulences of his original form, but the person is complete. We should not think that Narayan is different than Krishna, or that Narasimha or Vaman is different than Krishna. It is Krishna. He's in another form, but the person is the same. But in that form, by his own inconceivable will, he is manifesting certain types of opulences, and certain ones he is not. Krishna displays all the opulences in its most perfect and complete manifestation. And all the other avatars of Vishnu Tattva are only exhibiting partial. This is explained so nicely in Srimad Bhagavatam. The beautiful story, how Arjuna, he saw that there was a Brahman. And this Brahman, every time he had a son born to his wife, the son died by very mysterious cause. So he was very upset, this Brahman, because in those days, if a king was ruling the state properly, everything would go according to nature's plan. Nature's plan is the father is supposed to die before the son. It is an unnatural thing for the son to die before the father. And because the king is responsible for the affairs of the state, he's answerable to anything that goes wrong. Very different than today. Today, usually the kings are the cause for everything going wrong, to some extent. Or even they're helpless. one-fifth of the good karma and bad karma goes to the leader of a nation.
Hare Krishna.
How much good karma is going on these days, and how much bad karma? Who in their right minds would want to beg, borrow, steal, kill, do anything to be the leader?
Hare Krishna.
If only they knew the laws of karma. So this king, Ugrasena, he was being held responsible. My son has died. You're responsible. You're the king. Why is this happening in your kingdom? And he did everything he could, but still, one after another, the children were dying.
But Arjuna, he was the great hero. He had his Gandiva bow.
He was undefeatable. He had supernatural powers. He gained supernatural powers from Lord Shiva, from Lord Indra, from Lord Agni. What to speak of from Krishna?
He said, you give birth to another child. I guarantee you, I will stand at your door with my Gandiva bow and death will not come into your home. The Brahmin said, are you sure about this? I am sure. I don't believe you. I vow, if I don't save your son from death, I will enter into fire.
This is Kshatriya. This is how committed they are to protect another. They're willing to lay down their life to protect another living being. So he stood there protecting. And the Brahmin came out.
What is the use of you, Arjuna? My son has died.
That means he has to enter fire. Arjuna said, I will find him. Somewhere in the universe, I have to find him. So Krishna took him on chariot, and he went to Yamaloka. Yamaraj said, I didn't take the sons. Don't blame me. Nobody knew where he was. Then Krishna said, you come with me, Arjuna. He got on Krishna's chariot. After searching everywhere, he was about to enter fire. He was true to his word. In days when people have integrity, if you say something, you will do it. Mother Earth has said, I can bear all sorts of terrible burdens, but I cannot bear the weight of someone who is not truthful. Truthfulness is the last leg that is barely trembling and trying to survive in this age of Kali. But if someone gave their word, they would die before breaking their word. That's how we should consider the vows that we take. When we come to take initiation, we take a vow standing right before Radha and Krishna, right before the assembly of Vaishnavas, the Guru and Krishna who has appeared in the sacred fire. We are making vows. Srila Prabhupada said, no gentleman will ever break these vows. A gentleman will not even break his ordinary word as he's speaking. What to speak of lifelong vows before God, personally? Very, very serious matter. Arjuna was going to do it when he gave up all hope of saving that child. Then Krishna took him on his chariot, and they went way, way beyond all. They just crossed over all the various upper planets of material existence. They went through the various outer space scenarios, and then they entered into the causal ocean with huge, gigantic waves. There was the Brahma Jyoti. Everything was there. Arjuna was just stunned to see this existence beyond material creation. And there, Arjuna saw Mahavishnu. You could imagine how small Arjuna felt standing before Mahavishnu.
How can you see the beginning and the end of Mahavishnu with these little eyes? How far can we see with these eyes? We can't even see two blocks down the road in Mumbai. And this earth dust floating in this creation of the universe. And the universe is just like a little piece of dust floating with billions and trillions of pieces of dust within the creation. And they're just, the universes are just coming out of the little pores of Mahavishnu's body. The pores of Mahavishnu's body, we can understand, are most likely the same proportion to his body as our pores are to ours. He is Mahapurusha. We are tiny little Purushas. So Arjuna had the eyes to actually see the full form of Mahavishnu. And with folded hands, he was offering his reverential prayers. And Mahavishnu was offering his reverential prayers to Krishna, who is Arjuna's friend, who is his servant, driving his chariot, trying to help him in his moment of need. And Mahavishnu said, I have the children, I stole them. The reason I stole them is I wanted to have darshan of Krishna. Because he's the absolute whole. He is the supreme source of all opulences. I am just an insignificant expansion of Krishna. I wanted to see with my own eyes, those eyes, Mahavishnu's eyes impregnates the whole material existence into the Mahatattva with all living entities by his glance. That is the power of his eyes. But his eyes were simply longing to see the beauty of Govinda, Krishna. And then he gave the sons back. And Arjuna came back. The Brahman was very happy. But the happiest person of all was Mahavishnu. Because he received the darshan of Lord Krishna. So these various expansions of the Lord are actually the Lord himself. We should not think them different. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his debate with Venkata Bhatta between Narayan and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya said, actually, Narayan and Krishna are the same person. But as Narayan, he only manifests his partial opulences. As Krishna, he manifests his fullest, most complete opulences in the most intimate way. So that is called Vishnu Tattva. Where the Lord himself becomes various forms and personalities. And the second expansion of the Lord is called Vibhinamsa, or the Jivatma. Just a tiny little particle, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Jivatma is Krishna, but a little tiny part of Krishna. Therefore, we cannot say we are Krishna. We are just a particle of Krishna. And because we're such tiny little particles, we are completely subordinate and depending on Krishna at every moment, forever. In the spiritual world, we are completely subordinate and dependent on Krishna through his superior spiritual energy. And in the material world, we are completely subordinate and dependent on Krishna in his external inferior energy, the material energy. Because the spirit soul, which is a spiritual spark of Krishna himself, emanating from Krishna's body himself, eternally existing, that spirit soul, who has an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, is called marginal energy because of his minute nature. We have the power to be covered over by material illusion if we choose by our own free will
to not act according to our constitutional nature, which is Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das, to serve Krishna. So the jivatmas that enter into this material atmosphere, due to misusing their independence, due to making a conscious choice to want to enjoy rather than serve, are remain bound with material existence as long as that very seed cause of our fall into material existence remains within our hearts. That we want to enjoy rather than serve. Not knowing that real enjoyment is in serving. The enjoyment of separation from Krishna, at least forgetfulness of Krishna. Actually, we can never be separated from Krishna. But our consciousness is separated from Krishna due to forgetfulness. That is the cause of all misery and suffering within all of existence. Therefore, the Lord has descended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord has descended in his bona fide representatives coming in disciplic succession to teach us the truth. You are part of Krishna. You are his eternal servant. Don't try to enjoy this material existence. You will only be frustrated birth after birth after birth. Don't try to become God because it is impossible. It is an illusion. God is great. You are small, and that is an eternal reality. Serve Krishna. Please Krishna. Become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Be happy. Chant the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, you said about the dimension of the spirit soul, so how minute it is, but how actually the spirit soul can be measured in material terms, like 1/10 of the tip of the hair.
The Upanishads describe that the spirit soul within this material existence is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Hare Krishna. Can you measure the tip of a hair? Can anyone measure the tip of a hair? Do we have a measurement that small? I do not know. I left college 28 years ago. Do they have a measurement that small? We have, I don't even remember what the names of the measurements are. 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. So your nice question is, how do you measure something so small? And it's not even material, it's spiritual. How can you measure something spiritual with material calculations? You cannot. But Krishna can. And it is Krishna who has written the Vedas through Veda Vyas. And therefore, when Krishna explains, he can do anything. That is his achintya shakti. When Krishna says that the spirit soul is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair, he knows. He can measure spiritual with material, but you cannot. He has created material. He has created spiritual. The whole material energy has come from the spiritual energy. Well, what you are saying is correct from our observation, that spiritual cannot be measured by material instruments. What to speak of material instruments measuring something so small? But Krishna can do anything at any time, anywhere, out of his causeless mercy. So we may not be able to fathom what is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair? But one thing we can understand is that we are very minute. We are not the Supreme Lord. That much we can understand. That we are His servant. And because we are so small, we are so much completely dependent on His mercy. Therefore, we should surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastakam verses, what is his prayer? Just to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the prayer of a Vaishnava. The jnanis are praying, let me become God. Let me become the all-pervading, all-knowing Supreme Lord. I will perform my tapasya, I will do my yoga, I will study the shastras, I will give charity, because I want to become the greatest of the great. I want to become God, all-powerful. That is what the impersonalists are aiming at. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show what a Vaishnava is. In contrast, his prayer is, I want to be a single speck of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Uddhava, who was more learned than Brihaspati himself, he understood the Vedic knowledge perfectly. He was too humble to even pray to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. He was praying just to be a little plant in Vrindavan, a piece of grass, so that he could be touched by the feet of Krishna's devotees, the gopis, or the servants, or the maidservants of the servants of the gopis. One time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. Hare Krishna. What do we have to be proud of when we are so insignificant? Therefore, the more we realize the truth of our own nature and our relationship with God, the more we naturally have to become humble. A person may be reciting so many scriptures and be doing so many tapasyas and doing so much sadhana. But if that person still has a lot of false pride, we can understand to the degree that person is proud, he hasn't understood anything. If you understand your totally insignificant position, you have to be Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari. Therefore, this is the standard of a person's understanding of God, this verse. Not academic knowledge. The real standard that we have understood the scriptures is to the degree we are Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari. Not how good of lectures we give. Not how wonderfully we can expound philosophy and logic and defeat all opposition. That is our service, if we are preachers. But that is not the test that we have truly understood. The truth is when we understand who we are anu, we are insignificant, and Krishna's vibhu, he is great. Therefore, how can we not be utterly humble in our own existence? Krishna is the most everything. We are his insignificant service. And the Mayavadi preachers, they hate this idea. They blaspheme the Vaishnavas terribly. They will give lectures to tens and thousands of people and they will criticize Vaishnavas. You are God, and yet these Vaishnavas, they are telling you that you are insignificant. Why do you want to go to them? I'm telling you, you're the greatest of the great. You're the controller.
that the sun and moon rise by your free will. You can realize this. You just follow me. You just praise me. You give me your money. I will teach you all these things. But these Vaishnavas, stay away. They're blaspheming your supreme personality. You're blaspheming your supreme existence. They're saying you are insignificant. You are the most significant of the significant. And they are saying you are insignificant. Ah, what a useless philosophy. And they're saying you have an eternal form in Vaikuntha. What will you do there? What will you do in Vaikuntha eternally? Therefore, I am God, you are God, we are all God, let us realize it. They hate the idea of Vaishnava philosophy. You are an eternal servant. Ah, you've been serving in this material world birth after birth after birth. Be the master! They want to tell you you're eternally condemned as a servant. Not only that, but you're an insignificant servant. Not only do the Mayavadis not like our philosophy, but even the psychiatrists and psychologists of the atheistic society of the world, they're trying to boost up your ego. Because for a materialistic person, happiness means a big ego. That I am great, I am important, I am wonderful, I am all that I can be. I remember after I joined Hare Krishna movement, I understood that you're supposed to sign letters, your servant. So I wrote a letter to my parents, and I wrote, your servant, Radhanath Das. And they were shocked. What to speak of the content of the letter, which I will not even try to explain to you. But when they read this, your servant, they wrote back to me, said, what is this? Why are you calling yourself a servant? You're an intelligent man. You have so many capacities. Why do you want to be a servant? Don't call yourself our servant. Be what you could be, all that you could be in life. Succeed. Be a master. They thought it's such an insult to my integrity. What is this movement doing to you? They're making you think you're a servant. All of the colleges, all of the psychiatrists, psychologists, the whole world is trying to make you feel, I am the enjoyer. I am the master. Let me be all that I could be. And grow old, get diseased, and die. Hare Krishna. That's all you can be in this material world. All you can be is someone who just grows old, gets disease, and dies. And then you either become the stool of a vulture, or you become the ashes of a fire, or you become the food of worms. That's all that you can be, in fact. No one can possibly argue with this reality. But the Vaishnavas, we want to be... In those days, I wrote back to my parents, I believe, not only am I aspiring to be a servant, I am aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant, Anu, the insignificant, atomic, infinitesimal servant of all other servants. That is my goal of life. He's crazy. He's brainwashed. What have they done to him? Everyone wants to get big. We want to get small. We want to be Anudas, Das, Das, Anudas. Anu means an atomic particle. Hare Krishna. But that is the real bliss. That is only when we achieve that humility can real ecstasy and love awaken within our hearts. And Krishna is so great that an ocean beyond all the oceans, beyond the causal ocean, there is an ocean of ecstasy contained within.
that little particle, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Now you may ask, I cannot put an ocean even in this cup. This is so many billions of tips of hairs. But Krishna can put an unlimited ocean of love and joy and ecstasy within each soul. And when we return to the spiritual world, that little spiritual spark develops its original spiritual form, which is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And there, we are always immersed in pure humility in chanting the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question? Hare Bol. Should we have more questions or should we end? Who's the president? We're so insignificant, we don't even know who the president of the temple is. Sometimes even the president doesn't know who the president is. This is Radha Gopinath's special mercy. One more question? No. Anyone else? Yes, Mr. President. You don't receive 1/5 of the karma of the temple.
Because I don't do anything, Maharaj.
That's why we made 5 presidents. This is the internal reason why we chose 5 presidents. No, actually, in this temple there's no karma. There's only pure devotional service, at least the aspiration for that.
I only get the 1/5 of benefit. Question is, Maharaj, people ask generally that regarding the soul, that the Paramatma is the soul of the soul. And we hear in the Upanishad that it is seated beside. So how do we answer that question? Sometimes it is beside the soul and it is the soul of the soul.
Both. Krishna is not like you, that you can be next to Gaur Gopal, but you cannot be inside of Gaur Gopal, because you are insignificant. But Krishna can do anything he so pleases. That is his inconceivable transcendental power. Does that answer your question? Huh? Although you may be insignificant from one point of view, your lotus feet are worshipable by all of us because you have taken shelter of Krishna, the All Great. Therefore, because Radha Gopinath is so splendidly manifesting through Radha Gopinath Prabhu, you are our Lord. And we are all seeking shelter of your mercy. Everyone who agrees with my opinion, please loudly chant Hari Bol. Radha Gopinath Prabhu ki.
Jai!
Radha Gopinath Prabhu, do you have another question? Oh,
Whatever it is, we will come to the same conclusion. To glorify your transcendental qualities. Thank you very much.